A seven-figure 401k may feel impressive, but it tells only one part of the story. What matters more is whether your savings paired with Social Security and other income can replace enough of your paycheck to sustain your lifestyle in retirement.
This is the Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs.
Let's talk about the green flags.
Helping you raise your money and your life to a higher standard.
And here we go. Let's do a show. We're on the air. Welcome in. This is Prosperity Playbook. I'm your host, Gary Nolan. Here to help you take charge of your money is Nicole Gibbs. Nicole is with the Dixon Agency, has over 10 years experience. Another weekend, another show. Here we go, kid. What's up?
Yes, it's spring. It's almost my birthday. I'm super excited. So it turns spring on, March the 20th.
Right.
So I love this time of the year. You know, everybody's coming outside. No more hibernating. I think we had our last cold day, I believe, Tuesday.
Yes.
Last week, Tuesday. Yeah, so I'm super excited for spring. I know the people with allergies aren't because the pollen is already on the car.
I know.
get your Claritin, get your Zyrtec, do your holistic
and you'll be okay.
Honey. I know, right. Some people, like, you know, they like boil honey or something to kind of, I don't know.
I don't know. When's your birthday?
April 6th.
All right, it is coming up.
It's
going to be 21.
Up.
Right? Something like that?
Oh, I'll be 25 again.
All right. Let's go with that. All right. Let's get started on the show. We got a lot to get to. Now, in retirement planning, focusing on a head like 1 million saved can give you a false sense of security. Now, according to a recent Investopedia article, the smarter lens, your retirement placement ratio, that's the percentage of your pre-retirement income that your income sources can replace. Now, traditional guidelines suggest aiming to replace 70 to 85% of pre-retirement earnings, but the key is personalizing your target, subtracting projected Social Security or pension income to reveal how much of your nest egg must you truly generate. So here's the first thing we're going to talk about. Let's dig into the million-dollar mindset. Let's talk about that, Nicole.
I definitely want to take some time to talk about this because a lot of people are like, $1 million? How can I? That's not what we need to talk about. The first thing we need to understand is that many clients feel secure if their 401k hits seven figures. But data shows only around 3%, Gary, of Americans actually have that much in retirement accounts. Plus, when you draw 4% from 1 million, it only gives you like maybe about $40,000 a year.
Right.
So if you're used to 60, 75, 80, 100,000 like high income earners, that's not going to be enough for you, especially if your lifestyle hasn't changed. So and that's $40,000 before taxes. So often barely a fraction of this pre-retirement income is doing what it needs to do. So how I get people to shift I shift the conversation, and what I get people to think about as far as a mindset shift is the income goals. So let's talk through this. So if a person wants, let's just say $3,500 a month, I'm going to do $3,500, I'm going to do $4,500, and I'm going to do $5,500, and then $10,000. So if you want $3,500 monthly in your accounts, or coming to you as a paycheck, you have to save $42,000 annually, right? And then annually for 30 years, you have to save $42,000, and then your portfolio will be like 1.05, like it'll be like $1 million. $4,500, if you want a desired monthly income of $4,500, you have to save $54,000 a year for almost 30 years. So if you're not like making that type of money, you know, it's hard to kind of fathom, how can I get to the numbers? How can I get to the numbers? So you get to the numbers by, one, of course, include your Social Security, because when you think about 100% of income in retirement, you have to account for Social Security. Hopefully it'll still be here. I think it will. But that's 40% of your income. So if you got 40% of your income covered, you're good. All you need to do now is make sure that your nest egg will take up that 60%. So if you've saved, what I like to tell people to do is you have to think about the number that you want and think about it in the sense of, okay, if I want $3,500 a month, that means I have to save $42,000 a year, which is $1,365 mm-hmm. a month for 30 right. years. Right. So that's a lot of money, especially if you're 25 and you have a really good job making over $75,000, there shouldn't be a problem with you saying, you know what, I'm going to save half of my salary, because half of your $75,000 salary is like what, 30 something thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. So you could live off of 30 with your expenses and all that good stuff and save 30, and you could do that for 20 years and you're done. But if you're older and you have to play catch up and all that good stuff, these are the numbers. You have to save $1,365 a month for 30 years to get to the $3,500. You have to save $3,165 a month for 20 years if you want to cut down the time of getting to that $3,500 a month. And then this is ridiculous, but I'm just saying $9,535 a month for 10 years. Like if someone has like a really good job, I don't know, you have to be making over $200,000 and you don't have, you know, kids and all these expenses and stuff, but you would have to save basically $10,000 a month for 10 years to get to that $3,500 a month in retirement for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So you have to do the numbers. And I wanted to break that down because I really wanted you guys to see what it would look like if you're trying to have that amount come to you in retirement. That's a lot. That's a lot of work, right,
Gary? Yeah, that is a lot. You broke it down great for us. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The show is Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. Nicole is with the Dixon Agency. I want to get you on the calendar, get you all set up with that comprehensive plan. There's no cost. There's no obligation. It is 888-919-0024. That's the number to call, 888-919-0024. The folks at Dixon Agency standing by this weekend ready for your phone call. So Nicole broke it all down for us. So income replacement ratio is a better benchmark, isn't it?
It definitely is. Like the guidance often suggests, like any advisor or any planner often suggests targeting 70 to 85% of pre-retirement income. A lot of teachers, state workers, and people, like when I worked with teachers pension, with all of the state workers and people who actually get a pension, they always consider their pension as some of their money because they don't see, they lucked up, Gary, and got into a profession and they had no idea that pension was going to be here or whatever, or they didn't even know. I wish I knew this because I would have been a teacher, because you pay into this pension or whatever the case may be. So not only are they getting pension, but they're getting Social Security if, you know, they're 67. I wouldn't say get Social Security at 62, but those are two checks or income replacement situations coming to them in retirement. That they didn't have to, like, they save for it because the money does come out of their check. So the money for their pension does come out of their check, but it's nominal and they're used to it. But just think about not having to save so much because you have a pension. So I wanted to kind of reiterate that you have to, it's like this with retirement. Whatever you put in is what's going to come back.
Yeah, exactly so, right.
I mean, that's just what I have to say.
That's the way it works. Yep, exactly right. Tension between age and planning is real, Nicole.
Yes, some planners rely on working longer to close income gaps. I don't think you should rely on time when it comes to working longer. You could get laid off. Something can happen with the job at the top, and then it affects you at the bottom or wherever you are in your position. The average retirement age in 2024 was already under 65. So people are retiring way earlier now, and many retiree early because of health problems. Or like I said, because of job loss. So you can't say, well, I'm a start saving next month, because your job, you may not have that great paying job, or, you know, you may not even have that income to save. So now is the best time. And because people are living longer in retirement, you need to go ahead and start planning now for your future self. I mean, that's just super important. to think about. You got to think about it now. I wish I did not touch my 401k and all that good stuff when I was 25 years old. Like,
you and me both. You and me both. That's for sure. I wish I wouldn't touched it earlier. A couple of minutes left. Couples face a two lives problem in retirement. What do we mean by that?
So I think the two lives is like understanding that there is, okay, it's two of you. So you have to figure out different strategies, especially if the wife isn't working or wasn't working. And they typically say, you know, women, would they say men die quicker, women get sicker or something like that? That's what something we say like in the insurance world. Yep. Yeah. But financial needs and longevity vary by spouse. And of course, like I said, women outlive men, and couples, they need like a survivor strategies. So there are different survivor strategies or joint strategies that you can kind of incorporate when it comes to your retirement. I know that there is one with the annuities, and you need to think about your sequence of returns risk. So people don't understand that when you first retire and you're an early retiree, you're very highly vulnerable to sequence of returns risk. So if you're married, you definitely need to think about that. Sequence of returns risk is a market crash in the first few years of retirement. So your planner needs to always think about all the different things that could possibly happen to protect you from anything when it comes to that income. That's why understanding that number, knowing exactly how much you want, is important, because there has to be strategies put in place for not only just you, but if you're taking care of a wife, or if your wife is an entrepreneur or husband is an entrepreneur, you have to incorporate all of that into the plan, because it doesn't work the same when you have someone that's working in a corporate space or working a job where they're saving 401k and things like that. It's just so many different strategies you have to then consider, especially if your spouse, working or not, you need to think about joint strategies. So that's what I'll say about that.
Right. Absolutely. All right. A couple of minutes left. So final question. What does your plan assume about life expectancy, Nicole?
Okay. So we plan like you're going to live until you're 100. So whenever I actually do illustrations on life insurance products always illustrate, well, the IULs and the whole life policies normally illustrate until, or we provide a quote to the client up until they're 100 or 121 years old. So the fact that an insurance company factors in an illustration until someone is 121.
Great segment, Nicole. Tell us about what you do for listeners when you meet with them.
So thank you, Gary, so much. This was a pretty good segment. Very informational. I just think people need to kind of get online and not use Uncle Chat GPT for just the basics, but just kind of put in questions about themselves. Like if I am going to retire at 55, how much do I need to save if I'm going to be in retirement for 30 years? Things like that. So those are some of the questions that we actually ask you when you come and you sit down. And we only talk with serious. If you're serious about your financial plan and creating one, we want to sit down and talk with you. What we do is we ask you the questions of your numbers, like we said in the segment. What do you want your number to be? What do you want that number to look like in retirement? Once we get that number, we create strategies and safe vehicles for you to be able to establish that goal and also not outlive your money. So if you're serious about having a conversation about your future self and your money, please, Gary, tell them how they can get in contact with us.
Happy to do so, Nicole. Of course, 888-919-0024. That's the number to call, 888-919-0024. Folks, no cost, no obligation, 888-919-0024. We'll take that break now. Be back with more of Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs in just a moment. Nicole, what do you have for me next?
Turning 67 may tick off age milestones like Social Security, Medicare, but retirement isn't as simple as blowing out birthday candles. It's about aligning your finances, mental readiness, and your vision for life afterward into a clear, confident choice.
Hey, And here we go. We're back on the air. This is segment number two. Welcome in. This is Prosperity Playbook. I'm your host, Gary Nolan. Back with us to help you take charge of your money is Nicole Gibbs. Nicole has helped hundreds of clients plan for their retirement, been doing it for quite a while, over 10 years experience, and is with the Dixon Agency as we dive into segment number two. 67 is also seen as the safe text for retiring. Your full Social Security benefits kick in, Medicare is active, and maybe you're at your peak earnings. But as a financial advisor emphasized, true readiness goes beyond age. It's about having a lifestyle plan, a financial foundation, and a mindset primed for a new purpose. Now, this segment, we're probing five questions to help clients bridge the gap between when and why they're stepping into retirement. So here's the first question, Nicole. Can you afford to stop working? What do you think?
Well, turning 67 doesn't automatically guarantee financial security, Gary. That's the first thing. You need clarity on your income sources, like we've been talking about. Is it going to come from pension? Is it going to come from your Social Security, retirement account withdrawals, and your possible lifetime expenses? You have to coordinate or create a plan with all of that in mind. And don't forget to factor in unpredictables. Your unpredictables are your health care, your long-term care, things like that. So all of those things need to be accounted for, not just the moolah. People just think, oh, I need to save. But if something happens, God forbid, where you have to manage an illness for 10 years, how are you going to do that? Are you going to tap into the money that you've saved or the preventative strategy that your planner may have told you about that you should be thinking about or whatever to protect your income from that type of thing? So questions you should consider is, have you done the detailed number crunching, not just a rough estimate, but to ensure you can only get by and truly enjoy a 30-year retirement. So when you sit down with someone, you need to be able to talk about lifetime income riders. You need to talk about things that's going to preserve the money and make the money grow. You also need to continue to save. Those are some things that you may want to think about. Many retirees mistakenly retire based on age without stress testing their spending and income projections. Kip Linger is one of the top, like Investomedia. Those are some top resources that you can kind of read articles on when it comes to things like this. So, yeah, that's what I would say about that, Gary.
Right. What about this? Are you ready to stop working for real? What do you think?
Work can offer more than just a paycheck. It can provide structure, community, and purpose. So people don't understand when I was talking about the mental readiness. You need to prepare yourself not just for the financial part of it, but you also need to prepare yourself for the social part of when it comes to working. Many struggle after retirement when that rhythm disappears. I know I would. So questions to consider would be, what meaningful activities do you like to do? Do you like to volunteer? Do you mentor? Would you consider part-time consulting or maybe even being a professor? That's one of mine. Could that replace that daily structure and preserve a sense of purpose and identity? Some people decide to work. Like, I know people that are still working today. My friend Simone retired almost 5 years ago, and within 3 months she had a job. Well, she had to get up, and she retired from a state job. She was like, first, she likes to spend money, so that's why she's working. But she was like, girl, what am I going to do with $2,500? That's not going to do nothing for me a month. So she works. She gets her pension, and she works. And I told her, she's older now. She's almost approaching 62. And I told her, don't touch that Social Security, because you don't do that, because you're not going to be able to work if you do that. So you have to think about things like that. Financial psychologists caution that unstructured retirement can lead to restlessness, and retirees flourish when purposeful routines replace idle freedom. So you have to think about your retirement holistically.
The show is Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. I'm Gary Nolan, your host. Want to thank you for joining us, spending time with us this weekend. And I want to give you the phone number, get on the calendar, get you all set up with that comprehensive plan. 888-919-0024. That's the number to call. 888-919-0024. Do it right now. Get yourself all set up with that comprehensive plan. There's no cost. There's no obligation. Can your portfolio withstand a downturn? That's something you have to keep an eye on. Am I right?
Absolutely. Many retirees are hitting milestones when markets have been on a rally for years. If you retire at a market peak, sequence of returns risk, remember we talked about that, well, I kept saying it, where early losses can derail lifetime spending becomes a real threat. That's a huge thing. So you have to question and ask yourself questions like, does my plan buffer cash reserve or like flexible withdrawal strategies? So you have to figure, you have to make sure that your planner actually figures in these type of strategies so that you can weather if a market downturns 20%. Failing to anticipate sharp market corrections can sacrifice long-term stability. This risk tends to be under-discussed. People like financial advisors are always discussing, you know, market versus safe products and things like that, because some people, they hate the slowness of, you know, a fixed income type thing or index thing or anything that is kind of predictable and safe. Some people don't like that. They like the aggressive stock market. So people always discuss and debate which is better when it comes to saving. You have to figure out what your risk tolerance is, because one thing about it and two things for sure, the market is always going to reset. So it's always going to go up and down. So you have to always remember that.
But you got to be prepared for a 20% market drop just in case. Am I right, Nicole?
Absolutely. You need to plan for that inside of your plan when you talk to your advisor. Make sure you're prepared. That's the biggest thing for anything when it comes to retirement. I also would say get online and do research. YouTube University is full of information. I'm not talking about TikTok or Instagram, because a lot of those people, I'm not discrediting content creators, because get your money, do what you do, right? Because a lot of them are making a really good living being content creators. However, a lot of them are regurgitating information from each other. You swipe up, you see, when you start liking things online, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok, or whatever you like, whatever your social media preference is, when you like and you continue to like different things, it's going to pop up that same type of, that's what the algorithm recognizes that you want to look at. So if you like someone that's not licensed, not trained, but they have great information, it's not always good to listen to that type of information, because sometimes it could be dead wrong. And it could just be information that they learn from somebody else, not an experienced licensed advisor or planner like myself who've been in the trenches for 10 years. So it's important that you get someone with experience and who knows how the market and how money works when it comes to insurance and even stocks.
So that's why you need Nicole in your corner. We're going to give the phone number again in just a couple of minutes. Will delaying Social Security help or hold you back, Nicole?
I think it helps when you delay. I mean, some people don't want to hear it. Some people were just like, man, I'm ready to retire now. I'm 62. That's 40% of my income. At age 67, you hit your full Social Security benefits. But if you defer until age 70, the benefits grow approximately 8% per year. I'm telling you guys this every single week. If you're healthy and working, waiting can significantly boost lifetime income. And the reason you also want to wait, if you're a couple, we were talking about this in the last segment, the joint, quote unquote, the joint thing where like Q and you, they're stuck together forever. It's the same thing when you're married. So you have to think about that type of stuff when you are married. You have to wait until age 70 in order for the spouse to get the maximum amount if you wait. So questions that you should consider, given your health outlook and financial cushion, might it make sense to retire a bit later and increase your Social Security, or is retiring now more aligned with your goals? Maybe you don't need such a huge Social Security check, but remember, you're leaving money on the table. The insight when it comes to this thought process is a deferred claiming strategy when paired with emotional preparedness can yield meaningful benefits, but only if it fits the retiree's wellness and engagement profile. So if you're the type of person, you're like, well, I don't really need $3,500 in retirement. I'm good with, you know, what I've saved and what Social Security will get me. Go with it. Don't just do whatever someone tells you to do. It has to be based on you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the decision to take Social Security is not made in a vacuum.
Yeah, and Social Security, when you take it at 62, I know you're missing almost $350 to $500 a month. Absolutely. Off the rip. And yep. If you multiply that, if you retire, okay, and you start taking your Social Security at 62, and you're in retirement until 92, look how much money. If you multiply $350 times 12 and then times how long you're going to be in retirement, you're going to see how much money you left on the table.
Yeah, that's a lot of money leaving on the table.
Yes,
so here's our next question. What are you retiring to?
So most consider what they're retiring from, which is stress. People be ready to retire. Commuting, traffic. Oh, my God. The traffic in Charleston is absolutely ridiculous. It's getting just as bad as Atlanta. Okay?
Wow, that's hard to believe. Wow, that's crazy.
It is the truth. The traffic is the one. I told you last week, we were looking at some, Ross and I, we were looking at like some statistics, and basically South Carolina is the number one state most people are moving to.
I heard that. You told me last week. That's right.
Yes. So, but few plan for what they're stepping into is, let's just go back to the question. Fulfilling retirement starts with identifying your OTS, meaningful commitments, aligned to your values. Make sure that you ask yourself questions like, what daily routines or projects do you envision post-working, and how do those shape both your financial needs and your emotional fulfillment? Because this is a holistic decision. It's based not, like I said, not just on money, but also on what feels good for you. How are you going to fill your day? That's the first question. You know what? That's what I'm going to start asking people, Gary. How are you going to fill your day when you retire?
Sure.
What
exactly.
are you going to do?
What are you gonna do?
So you can kind of be like, okay, yeah, what am I going to do? What do I like to do? Another question, what do I like to do, or what haven't I done while I was working? What did I miss out on when I was working that I can catch up on now? Those are some of the things that you have to think about in order for you to come up with a schedule of things to do. True fulfillment in retirement emerges when freedom is paired with purpose, not just leisure. And a related study from Investopedia recommends pre-retirement trial runs like volunteering or mini retirements, or try to do like things that you would do in retirement before you retire, to avoid post-retirement identity challenges.
All right. That sounds great. That's it for segment two. Nicole, tell our listeners what you do for them when you meet with them.
So retiring at 67 can be a great chapter if it's chosen with clarity, not assumed by default. If you liked help aligning numbers, emotions, and purpose into a retirement plan that's both resilient and fulfilling, let's partner to bring your post-work life into vivid, confident focus. I'm super excited to help anyone that is serious about getting their financial plan in order, but also thinking about the emotional side and the social side. I'm here to talk through all of that for you. Gary, tell them how they can get in contact with us.
This is your chance to benefit from a personalized retirement income plan and so much more. Call right now. We still have a limited number of availabilities on our calendar this week. And remember, the consultation is offered at no cost or no obligation. Here's that phone number, 888-919-0024. The folks at Dixon Agency standing by this and every weekend ready for your phone call. That number again is 888-919-0024. Do it right now while you're thinking about it. Get yourself all set up with a comprehensive plan. Again, there's no cost, there's no obligation. It is break time. Be back with more of Nicole and Prosperity Playbook in just a moment. What do you have for me next?
BlackRock asked thousands of retirees and savers about their favorite retirement investments. Some said mutual funds, some said cash, others said other. Let's talk about what that means and whether these choices make sense for your nest egg.
We are halfway through the show. Welcome back. This is segment number three. I'm your host, Gary Nolan. This is Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. Nicole is back with us to help you take charge of your money. She's helped hundreds of clients plan for their retirement years. She has over 10 years experience in retirement planning business, and she's with the Dixon Agency. As we dive into segment number three, if retirement planning had a popularity contest, which investment would take home the crown? Now, according to a recent BlackRock survey of nearly 3,000 retirees and savers, the answer is, well, it's complicated. Some people love the dependability of mutual funds. Others swear by cold, hard cash. Now, a growing number say, why not crypto? But just because everyone is doing it doesn't mean it's right for you. Today, we'll break down the top retirement investment favorites from fresh stats, fun insights, and a few caution flags that you might want to pay attention to. I'll start with the first one, ETFs. The cool kid of retirement investing.
Okay. I guess that happened over the past, 5 to 7 years. ETFs were not popular like this. So an ETF is exchange traded funds, and it has literally gone from niche to normal. So in fact, the global ETF market hit $13 trillion in assets in 2024, up from $1.3 trillion in 2010. So that's how you know it became the new kid on the block. But I believe there were something funny going on about 7 to 8 years ago where the ETFs like exploded. It was a kid that actually made the most money. I'll get you guys that story. But nearly 16% of those BlackRock surveyed said ETFs were their top choice. Why? Because lower fees, real-time trading, and easy diversification. What's not to love about that? Some investors will confuse ETFs with mutual funds. So let me go ahead and help you understand the difference between the ETFs versus the mutual funds. So the ETF is exchange-traded funds, traded like stocks on an exchange throughout the day at fluctuating prices. The mutual fund is bought or sold once per day after the market closes at the net asset value, which is the NAV. The costs, generally lower expense ratios with the ETFs, may involve brokerage commissions, though many are only now $0. With a mutual fund, they may have higher expense ratios. Some have loads, quote unquote, which is sales charges, or 12B-1 marketing fees. So you have to be aware of that. When it comes to minimums, the ETFs can be purchased for the price of a single share or even fractional shares. When it comes to mutual funds, often require a minimum initial investment. So just getting online and kind of doing a comparative analysis of the ETF versus the mutual fund, if you're a stock person, is super important.
Mm-hmm. How about annuities? The underrated underdog annuities.
That's my jam. I love annuities. Everybody knows that I love annuities. I am a very, very, very safe person. Ross and I, we went to Scottsdale, Arizona to meet with the people from Quantum when we first started working with them.
Sure,
and there's
yeah,
a casino.
I know those guys.
There's a casino out there called Talking Stick.
I've been
casino.
There. Yes,
You've
I have been there?
There.
Yes, I have.
I never even knew a casino was there. So we ended up going there one night. And Ross was like, Nicole, are you going to gamble? I'm like, I don't gamble. I don't throw away my money. No. He was like, okay, well, I'm going to give you $100. And you know what? Let's just see what happens. Gary, do you know I wanted to tuck that $100 and take it with me? He was like, you can do what you want with it, but don't, you know. So since he was there, I couldn't steal the money right in front of his face, right? I'm just joking.
Put it all on red.
I ended up playing and I ended up hitting for $750. That's
good
beginner's
for you.
Luck. That's
nice.
Beginner's
exactly
luck.
Exactly right.
But
yeah,
I am not a person that gambles. That's why I love the annuities options because it allows you to benefit from the market and on the side of interest instead of being exactly in the market. And for the past 10 years, the S&P has performed historically great. So being able to not invest in the stock, but invest on the interest that S&P makes me feel like I'm still a part of the game. And that's what annuities do. So 21% of retirees in the survey are using annuities. That's a lot of people. And they're probably sleeping better at night because income guarantees can sound pretty good when markets look like a roller coaster built by a toddler. You know how it goes up and down. Annuities still carry a mixed reputation because people don't understand that annuities is a vehicle for when you retire. It's not a high yield savings account. You can't be going in and out of the account. It's not a Roth. It's so you have to understand what that means. And, you know, whenever there is someone interested in an annuity, I always give them, well, first of all, suitability forces us to create a recommendation list listing all of the things that the annuity can do and all of the rules that's associated with it.
Right.
And most people, they're okay with that because they know it's a retirement vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And we could spend a whole show on annuities. There's some good ones, there's some bad ones, but annuities generally are a very good product, and they've been breaking all records recently in the amount of sales each year. They getting more and more popular.
Yes.
The show is Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. I'm Gary Nolan, your host. 888-919-0024. That's the number to call to get on the calendar. Maybe I have a question or two for Nicole. She'd love to talk to you, too. 888-919-0024. That's the number to call. Nicole's with the Dixon Agency. Get yourself on the calendar. Get you all set up with that comprehensive plan. There's no cost. There's no obligation. The next thing we're going to talk about, cash. King, queen, or court jester? What do we mean by that?
Listen, I love that. So which one do you think it is? King, queen, or court jester?
I think it's cash is king, I think they say. They still say that, I think.
I don't believe that.
No,
Cliche say cash is king, but if your credit is poor, you can't move anywhere if you got a ton of cash. Sometimes, it depends. So if you're in Miami or South Beach, like in that area where there's a lot of foreign people that don't kind of identify with the whole credit thing, you might be okay. Even New York, which is a melting pot, a lot of people, you know, have cash but if your credit is jacked up, you could have $20,000 in the bank. And if you need to move or you want to get a house, it's going to be impossible unless you have all the money for the house. I mean, I guess that's when cash is king. 46% of respondents say they're holding on to cash. And sure, cash doesn't nosedive when the market panics. But in 2025, with inflation still hovering around 3.2%, cash can quietly lose value sitting in a low-yield account, not doing anything for you. Your money is supposed to go and grow. It's not just supposed to be hoarded under a mattress, unless you just have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of it and you're just trying to hide it or you're trying to keep it, whatever. But for the most part, all jokes aside, cash, I feel like, would do better in a vehicle that will allow it to grow based on interest and things like that. So I don't know. I think cash is not king, not when it comes to retirement. Okay. I don't think so.
All right. How about individual securities? High risk, high drama.
So 47% of those surveyed own individual stocks or bonds. It's empowering to hold shares of companies you believe in or that you shop with. I always tell people when you are investing, if you're going to invest in the market, invest in things that you like and eat and buy. Samsung, Apple, Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, because guess what? That money is circling back to you if you think about it, when you think about it like that. So I always tell people that. But it's very important that you think about and consider risk waiting to happen. Without diversification, one company's tumble can drag your whole portfolio down. So that's why I said at a certain age, think about diversifying your portfolio with a mix of annuities, that's insurance products, life insurance, that's another opportunity because life insurance can be used as income. There's a ton of strategies that you could do with life insurance that I see done on the sports professional side. It's amazing how money can grow when you put it in a strategy, a tax-free strategy. So life insurance, annuities, a mix of stocks and bonds, ETFs, if that's what you want to do. You just have to figure out what your risk tolerance is and what you're going to be able to tolerate when it comes to your age. At different ages, different stages. So you're young, go for it. Be in the market. If you're mid-age, 40s, you might want to be a little bit more moderate. Retirees, you need to be as safe as possible because you don't have your time horizon is different from a 20-year-old.
That's right. Absolutely. You mentioned mutual funds earlier. Let's talk about mutual funds. Still the retirement workhorse, though.
Yeah, so mutual funds were the top pick for 49% of savers. Millions of Americans still trust these diversified baskets to carry them into retirement. You can get passive index funds or active funds where a manager tries to beat the market, but the fees are ridiculous, Gary. They're absolutely ridiculous. So what I tell people is if you're more of like into the funds and mutual funds and hedge accounts, you have to equate the fees as a associated with those type of accounts because there's someone actually managing it, watching it, trying to make sure you don't lose your money. So think about the fees associated with those type of retirement vehicles.
All right. And finally, we're going to talk about, it's called other, real estate, crypto, and side hustles.
Oh, my. 27% of respondents chose other. And that's where things get really interesting. We're talking about rental properties. So there is, I've affiliated myself with this company called Advanta. If you go and look it up online, basically it's a company where you could actually create a self-directed 401k or IRA. Now you need help. You need a planner to help you. But it's self-directed, which means it's all on you. And you could use the IRA to actually buy or purchase homes or things like that. It's a private situation when you go online and kind of just read on it. This is something that you definitely should think about, especially if you're into real estate. Now, crypto, I don't even know about crypto. But small businesses, that's also that side hustle that they're talking about. Small businesses, consulting, doing little end jobs. Like, let's say you retire and you want to get into pressure washing, or you want to do something that can create income automatically, cash money for you. That those are different things when I see or hear other that people are getting into. Some folks are hoping that owning 3 Airbnbs in Florida will fund their golden years. Others believe Bitcoin is their backup plan. So I'd say go for what fits you. One size does not fit all. We talked about this 3 weeks ago, Gary, when I bought that those two little stockings that I told you about.
Yep.
One size doesn't fit all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One size doesn't fit all. So you have to do what works for you.
Right. Absolutely. All right, Nicole, we're up against the clock. Final thoughts on segment 3 and what you do for listeners when you meet with them.
Whether you're into mutual funds or mushroom farms, the truth is this: your retirement plan should be as unique as you are. We'll help you figure out what mix of investments makes sense for your goals, your timeline, and your sleep schedule. If you are serious about a financial plan and talking through your finances, let's build a plan that works for real life, not just a spreadsheet. Gary, tell them how they can get in contact with us.
Absolutely. Happy to do so. That number is 888-919-0024, 888-919-0024. The first step is sit down with a financial coach, sit down with Nicole and the team. If something we've been talking about resonates with you, you feel the need to get the second opinion, or want to make sure your plan is really aligned with your goals, or very important risk tolerance we talk about, or if you don't have a plan at all, that's when you really need to pick up the phone and get a hold of Nicole and the team at the Dixon Agency, 888-919-0024. Like I said, the folks at Dixon Agency standing by this and every weekend ready for your phone call. One more time before we go to our final segment, we take our final break, 888-919-0024. We'll step out. We'll take that break now. Be back with more of Nicole Gibbs and Prosperity Playbook in just a minute. Nicole, what do you have for me next?
They're retired, semi-retired, or just plain stressed. Worried about market swings, withdrawal rules, Roth conversions, and surprise tax bills. Coming up, real listener questions, real retirement dilemmas, and the straight talk to solve them.
And we are back with our final segment, which can only mean one thing, Q&A, coming up at you in just a minute. This is Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. Nicole has over 10 years' experience in retirement planning business, and she's here to help you take charge of your money. Like I said earlier, she's helped hundreds of clients plan for their retirement years, and she's with the Dixon Agency. Let's get to our questions that came in from the phone line at 888-919-0024. They admit they check their retirement accounts more than their grandkids' social media, and it's giving them heartburn. When the market dips, they panic. When it rises, they wonder if they should cash out. So how can someone avoid emotional investing now that their portfolio feels like a mood ring? Oh, boy, the emotional investor. This is a problem.
Yes, we're talking about curing that market heartburn. There's, like, if you can absolutely stop the emotional roller coaster by shifting from a gambler's portfolio to a protector's playbook. So if your portfolio feels like a mood ring, it's a clear sign that your risk tolerance and your actual investments are out of sync. So here is how we settle your stomach in 2026. So let's talk about the sleep well at night bucket. We move a portion of your volatile stocks into principal protection vehicles like the fixed index annuity. The win here is you still get to participate in the market, ups and days, but your floor is zero. When the market dips, your account stays flat. You keep your gains and you never lose a dime of your principal to a market crash. So there's no more panic. Next, the rule of 100. A simple layman's rule. Subtract your age from 100. That is the maximum percentage of your money that should be at risk in the stock market. If you are 70, only 30% of your money should be in fluctuating stocks. If you have 80% in the market at age 70, that heartburn is your gut telling you that you're overexposed.
Right.
Yes. So the written income plan, emotional investing happens when you don't have a plan. When you know exactly where your next 10 years of paychecks are coming from, like Social Security, pension, protected income, a 10% dip in the S&P 500 becomes a headline you read, not a crisis you feel. The prosperity bottom line is this. Investing should be a test of your nerves. If you're checking your accounts more than your grandkids' photos, your plan is working for the market, not for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so put down the Rolaids and listen to what Nicole has to say, because it makes an awful lot of sense. Okay, how about this one? They're both 67, recently retired, trying to figure out how much they can safely withdraw from their combined $1.3 million in retirement savings. Now, one wants to stick with the old 4% rule, and the other was worried about inflation and market swings. What's the best way for a couple to decide on withdrawal strategy and keep pace with rising costs that doesn't drain their accounts too fast?
Gary, we're settling the how much can I spend debate for good on this question. Right. Yes, you can absolutely create a retirement paycheck that keeps up with inflation, but in 2026, the old 4% rule needs a modern upgrade to protect your $1.3 million. Congratulations on that, by the way. The 4% rule was born in the 90s, and just like acid wash jeans, it might not fit your lifestyle today. So what we want to talk about in the prosperity playbook, or we want to pull a strategy, is a way to build a withdrawal strategy that actually works. Instead of a fixed percentage, we use guardrails. If the market has a great year, you can take a raise for that extra travel or home project. If the market has a down year, you simply skip your inflation adjustment for that year. This keeps your $1.3 million from bleeding out during market dips while still letting you enjoy some good times. Another strategy is the three bucket method. Don't put all your money from one place. Don't put it in one place and don't pull all your money from one place. The noun bucket is keep 2 years of cash in a high yield savings account. When the market is down, you spend from here instead of selling your stocks at a loss. The soon bucket is use bonds or fixed annuities to bridge the next 5 to 7 years. The later bucket, keep your growth stocks here to fight long-term inflation. One last thing you need to think about is the income floor strategy. We look at your Social Security and see if we need to manufacture a pension using a portion of that $1.3 million. If your must-have bills are covered by guaranteed checks, your withdrawal strategy for the fun stuff becomes much less stressful. Like I always say, let's stop guessing and start knowing. The prosperity bottom line is this. A $1.3 million portfolio is a massive achievement, but without a written withdrawal plan, it's just a pile of money waiting for a market crash. You need a strategy that tells you exactly which bucket to dip into every month. Okay?
Mm-hmm. What do you say? Acid wash jeans? Is that what you said?
Acid wash jeans.
And I think I had a members only jacket. Remember members only?
I remember members only. Yep. We used to wear Jabots.
I think that was the 90s. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
The 90s was a great, great, great decade.
Yeah, there you go. All right. The show is Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. Nicole is with the Dixon Agency. Let's get you on the calendar, all set up with that comprehensive plan. There's no cost. There's no obligation. 888-919-0024. That's the number to call. The folks at Dixon Agency standing by this and every weekend ready for your phone call. That's 888-919-0024. We've got time for one or two more questions. They inherited an IRA from their sibling last year. Just learned about the 10-year withdrawal rule under the new SECURE Act. They haven't taken anything out yet, and they're worried they might face a big tax bill if they wait too long. How should someone approach withdrawals from an inherited IRA under the new rules to avoid a surprising tax hit, Nicole?
If you inherited an IRA in 2025, you are likely sitting on a tax time bomb that requires a plan starting right now in 2026. Under the Secure Act, most people who inherit an IRA from a sibling or parent must empty that account within 10 years. Did you know that, Gary?
Yes, I did know that. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. The 10-year rule in the tax bomb. So if you wait until year 10 to take all the money out, the IRS will treat that entire sum as income for that 1 year. This could easily push you into the highest tax bracket, which means the government could take up to 40% of your inheritance in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, check your age. Since you inherited this from a sibling, you might have a get out of jail free card. If you are not more than 10 years younger than your sibling was, the IRS considers you an eligible designated beneficiary. The win here is you might be able to stretch the taxes over your entire lifetime instead of being forced to empty it in 10 years. This is a massive tax saving opportunity if you didn't know. And last but not least, if the 10-year rule does not apply to you, don't wait. We often recommend bracket management, which is taking a little bit out each year for the next decade. By spreading the income out, you stay in a lower tax bracket and keep much more of the money for yourself instead of the IRS. The prosperity bottom line is this. An inherited IRA isn't just a gift, it's a tax liability. In 2026, the IRS is enforcing new rules that require some people to take money out every single year. If you miss a deadline, that penalty can be as high as 25% of what you should have taken. So don't let your sibling's legacy become a tax nightmare. This is one of the most complicated areas of the tax code, and guessing can be expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Go see Nicole, because inherited IRAs can be very confusing.
Yes,
all right, how about this? We got time for one more. I'm going to squeeze in one more question, Nicole.
Okay.
We got a couple of minutes. They're both in their early 60s, semi-retired, living off part-time income and some investment withdrawals. Their tax advisor mentions Roth conversions before they hit 70, but they're unsure if it's worth the upfront taxes. When does a Roth conversion make sense for couples who are already starting to withdraw down retirement funds?
So under current laws, like the OBBBA, which is the big beautiful, the One Big Beautiful Act, tax rates are still relatively low. If you are semi-retired and only working part-time, you might be in the 12% federal tax bracket. By converting a portion of your traditional IRA to a Roth now, you pay that 12% today. If you wait until you're 75, your Social Security and mandatory withdrawals could easily push you into the 22 or 24% bracket. So why pay the IRS more later when you can pay them less now? Next, defusing the RMD time bomb. Traditional IRAs come with a use it or lose it rule called RMDs. As your account grows, the IRS eventually forces you to take out large sums, and they tax every penny of it. A Roth conversion shrinks that taxable pile, meaning smaller tax bills for you in your 70s and 80s. And last but not least, money in a Roth IRA grows tax-free and stays tax-free forever. If you want to leave a legacy for your kids or grandkids in Charleston, leaving them a Roth IRA is much better than leaving them a traditional one that comes with a massive tax bill attached. The prosperity bottom line is this. A Roth conversion is about taking control of your tax future. It's better to choose when you pay taxes at a lower rate today than to let the IRS dictate a higher rate to you later. Don't write a blank check to the IRS, guys. Your retirement should be about your freedom, not your tax liability.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to RMDs, you could also use QCDs as well.
QCDs.
That's something that might help. Am I right, Nicole?
Yeah, the qualified charitable distributions. Yes, yes. We talked about the Gary Nolan and the Nicole Gibbs charity fund.
Yeah, we did.
All exactly. Jokes aside, y'all. We
exactly.
Just like to have fun.
Yeah, we're just kidding, folks. Don't write nasty letters to us, please.
Please don't.
No, we don't need that. All right, looks like we're up against the clock, Nicole. Final thoughts on segment four, and let's wrap up today's show. What do you think?
So you spent 30 years working hard, saving consistently, and doing all the right things. But if you're still checking your accounts every time the market dips or wondering if Washington's latest move is going to shrink your nest egg, you don't have a retirement plan. You have a retirement hope. And hope is not a strategy for your future. I want to move you from uncertainty to total clarity. So for the next serious 10 callers, I'm opening up my calendar for a custom Prosperity Playbook financial review. This isn't just a little chit-chat about your goals. We actually are going to talk about three tangible tools that you could be missing. What I like to talk about is what would you like your number to be in retirement? From there, we figure out strategies to create that goal into reality. And then last, we actually talk about estate planning and all the things that come with financial planning and making sure that anything that could possibly happen is prevented or detected or deterred or, you know, it doesn't touch you. So these are the blueprints for your prosperity. You will meet with me personally to walk through these documents and see if our strategies are the right fit for your unique life. Let's stop hoping to start knowing. Gary, tell them how they can get in contact with me.
Happy to do so, Nicole. 888-919-0024. That's the number to call. 888-919-0024. Get that Prosperity Playbook review that Nicole just talked about. Folks, advice like this shows you how important it is to meet with a financial coach, to meet with Nicole and the team. They understand the ins and outs of the financial world. Take advantage of this opportunity. Make sure you're on the right path. The path is based on your risk preferences, your budget, and your goals. No cost, no obligation. 888-919-0024. You deserve a more confident plan to retire. I want to be stress-free, peace of mind. So that's why I pick up the phone and dial that number one more time before we wrap up today's show. 888-919-0024. That's it for today. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Hope you found the information we presented helpful. Look forward to all of you being back next week. We'll have new topics and new questions right here on Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs. Nicole, a pleasure as always. You take care now. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, Gary.
During this show, Nicole Gibbs provides general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and is not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and products or services should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory services. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Ross Dixon. By contacting Ross Dixon, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.